This is just awesome. Man. It's just, man, it feels good in here tonight, James. If you could all stand. I get the honor to introduce our guest speaker tonight. He's really not a guest. We know James, but he's... I was trying to remember back the first time that I ever met James Hawk, and I remember on our south bus route, Sister Elise and Audrey, hiding back there. What's her name, Jesus? She came, Elise was just a little bitty girl, and we'd pick her up every Sunday, and Audrey would have her dressed up so beautiful every Sunday, and she's just a cute little girl. And, you know, she's still cute, but she's not so little anymore. But they grow up. And I don't remember James when you lived over on Traceway. I don't know if James was over there, but I do know that they moved over to the north side, and that's where James somewhere came into the picture. And I believe it was Brother John Seidel that was working on the route over there. And I think John Seidel was responsible for bringing James into the church many, many, many years ago. And my first having anything to do with James was James had been appointed as our Boy Scout leader. And I'm not for sure why, but he asked me to work as his assistant. And we had some pretty wild and crazy camping trips. I remember one camping trip we went on, and we didn't have a whole lot of money in them days. Still don't have a whole lot, but anyway, it was worse then, and we had a pup tent that I don't know where I got it from, and James and I, we're staying in the pup tent, and poor James, his head's hanging out one end, his feet's hanging out the other end, and we're out there, and I don't know why, we got this crazy idea that we're going to do one of these late or early spring, it was like a winter type camp. Don't ask me why we ever got the idea to do this, because it was cold when we went out, and it snowed. And I remember one of the boys, I think it was Chris Bowie, if you remember Sister Jane Braisman's son, he was just a little guy at the time, and they were so cold, and they're supposed to build their own shelters. Here, James and I, we've got the tent, because, you know, we don't have to do that. That's, they want to win their merit badge. That's their badge. So Chris Bowie, we got this big fire roared, and the poor guy, he's freezing cold, and he gets slow closer and closer, and James and I were sound asleep, and all of a sudden, we sit up, and James is like, I smell something burning. We look out there, and poor Chris, he was so cold, he got so close to the fire that his sleeping bag's melting. We're hollering, Chris, Chris! And he wakes up, and he looks at us, and his eyeballs are, you know, all... But... things have changed. We've come a long way, Brother James, from those old Wanakee days, him working at Erdman's, and I worked down the street at Hughes Plumbing. But it's an honor and a privilege to be able to introduce to you Brother James Hawk. We love you. We appreciate you. It's an honor to have you as a friend. No, I wouldn't do that to you, man.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Oh, my. You know, there's not much really that kind of throws me off. But when Roy gets behind the podium or Brother Thomas gets behind the podium with the mic, you just never know where things are going to end up. And at least tonight it wasn't too bad, so I'm grateful for that. Because there are a lot of other stories they could have told that, yeah, well, we don't go there. Well, welcome all of you tonight to the CIP graduation. I always talk about how special this is to me, because it is something that's very dear to my heart. I always like to start this off by acknowledging the people that are that help make up the CIP program. It's not about me, it's about them. So with all the teachers, the bus drivers, all the ancillary people that help support this ministry, please stand so we can acknowledge you. We thank you very much for all the work that you do. Praise God. They help make it possible. Usually some small business to take care of first. We do have a graduation tonight, as I had stated, and after the graduation, we have a cake reception over in the fellowship hall. So each and every one of you are welcome to come over and congratulate the graduates, and also have some cake. Get a sugar rush before you go home. Okay. We are going to be doing some different things here pretty soon. About the ministries. CIP spawned a new ministry, Arise Family Services, and we've been in business now for, since 05, actually, 04, 05. And we have made some strides. We've had some setbacks, but the Lord has blessed the ministry so that it has continued to grow and to flourish. Even though we got rid of two of our houses, we're down to one, but we thank God for that, that we're still able to reach out and help people and minister to them. In that vein, we could use some help. We're going to be setting up a basket out in the coat room. Brother Roy has approved this. And we would ask that if you're at the dollar store, wherever you are, if you come across some cleaning supplies or things like that, toilet tissue, anything like that that would help in the house to help with the cleaning and help defray some of the expenses that we have to incur, we would greatly appreciate your donations. The one thing that Brother Roy has asked, that if you bring cleaning supplies or anything else, please make sure to have the safety seal on them just in case the kids may get at them, so it's not something that's easily open and they end up hurting themselves or spilling things on the carpet and such. So if you just keep that in mind, we greatly thank you in advance. And now I would like for you to just look at your neighbor and say, do you believe what he just did? All right, now we got that out the way. Some of you laugh because you know me. But this is not going to take very long tonight. But this is something that the Lord put on my heart long ago. I'm an alcohol and drug counselor, and that's what I do for a living. And I don't know if you can imagine this, but part of what I do is I just listen to a lot of excuses. You know, we make excuses to stay stuck. We make excuses not to move. We make excuses for all the things that we do. And some people have an issue of just staying in the problem and failing ever to get into the solution. And they keep wondering, why? Why do the same things keep occurring? So this, the message is titled, Out of the Problem and Into the Solution. Now, I'm going to go through something. As I said, this message is entirely different. It's broken down into three parts, and I think that you will be able to clearly identify them as I go through them. Not going to take very long tonight. We'll start off with, I'm too old or too young. I don't have enough money. I fail at everything I try. Why bother? I don't have a car. I am too shy. I don't know where to start. I don't have a degree. It's impossible. I've tried before. No one would want me. It's too late. It would take too much effort. I don't have the time. I'm not strong enough. It might ruin my health. I can't take rejection. I've applied already and they turned me down. Nothing goes right for me. The timing isn't right. I'm not a morning person. This is the wrong time of my life. It would mean starting over. I might fail. I don't have the energy. I hurt too much. I'm too fat or too thin. Prayer does no good. I'm not feeling well. I don't want to think about my problems right now. The weather is too hot or too cold. I have too many problems in my life. And you just don't know how to understand what I'm going through. It won't work. It's too much of a challenge. No one loves or cares about me. I can't find any free daycare. I can't stand the smell of plastic or bus exhaust or flowers or machine oil or food or people. This town's too small or too big. I just mess things up all the time. No one could forgive me. If I work around food, I'll start eating, and there'd be no stopping me. Roy had to hold his head down on that one. Okay. The boss will start talking some trash, and I'll lose my temper and get fired again, so why bother? I'm confused. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm an Anglo. I'm a minority. I'm et cetera, et cetera. It's raining, a sleeting, a snowing, a blowing outside. I can't stand, sit, walk, lay down for long periods of time, and I don't like talking on the phone, using computers, or meeting other people or their cats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not in the mood. I feel like I'm being picked on. I have too many problems. I feel like I'm always in the midst of the fire. I'm not strong enough. I'm worth more than they could afford to pay me. I've been tried before. They say I'm overqualified or underqualified. I've got 12 weeks of unemployment benefits left, and I don't want to lose them. It would be too hard to start. I'm not about to lower myself to do anything menial. I couldn't do it alone. I'm always in trouble. I've got a thing about traveling. It would take too long. I don't look for work outside my field, though I'm not sure what my field is. I'm not a risk taker. It's too risky. It can't be done. My mom and dad abandoned me. I don't have enough of anything. It's not practical. I've got to be realistic. Nothing would come of it. I'm too poor. People make fun of me. My clothes are old. Everyone judges me. I don't like myself or anybody else in the world. They all are phonies. They all think they are better than me. I can't hold it together, and I alienate people around me. Now, this list of negative things, even though I made light and fun of them, these are real to some people. These are very real to some people. They make the statement about thinking outside the box. Some people are pessimists. They won't even get close to the inside of the box that leads to the outside. And then there are other people that are optimists, somewhat like myself. I just cannot meet people in the midst of a problem. I don't see problems. I only see solutions. It got so bad once that in my counseling, I was working with a guy who was a pessimist, and I could not meet him in the midst of his pessimism, and I kept trying to show him in each one of these situations where there was a brighter side to it, there was another way of looking at it. This guy got so angry with me that he got up and left and never came back. He's deeply entrenched in his belief systems. Unfortunately, there are some of us that are deeply entrenched in our belief systems. There are some of us that come to church looking for answers, but because we are not willing to move past our beliefs, we end up staying stuck. We stand up staying frustrated. We stand up saying that God is not able, that he is not capable. And that's a lie. That's a lie. God, there's nothing that he can't do if we're willing to let go, if we're willing to let go of all of the excuses and look for the solutions. I was given a poem. I think it was Pat Puckett or Jan Rager sent this to me. And as much as I would like to take credit for this and what comes after this, I can't. It was someone else that did it. But I went ahead and I fleshed this out with scripture. But the poem went, if you never felt pain, then how would you know that I'm a healer? If we look to Matthew 13:15, it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and in their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. If you never had to pray, how would you know that I'm a deliverer? James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you never had a trial, how could you call yourself an overcomer? The word says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you've never felt sadness, how would you know that I am a comforter? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you never made a mistake, how would you know that I'm a forgiver? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you knew all, how would you know that I will answer your questions? 1 Corinthians 1:5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances and in all knowledge. If you never were in trouble, how would you know that I would come to your rescue? 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If you never were broken, then how would you know that I can make you whole? Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall, the partition between us. The middle wall kept the Jew and the Gentile apart, but not anymore. He is the Savior of all. If you've never had a problem, how would you know that I can solve them? John 8:10 said, when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? If you never had suffering, then how would you know what I went through? In Hebrews 2:9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. These are powerful promises to us. What is it that we are so special? Those of you who know me in a therapeutic setting, I like to make fun about riding the short bus, and I make no fun of anybody else, you know, or wherever your mental situation may be. But we talk about riding the short bus, wearing a helmet and licking the glass, you know. It's some people just don't get it. Is right here in front of us. You know, and the thing is, you don't have to ride that short bus all the way to the end, wherever that end may be. You can get off that bus at any time. You can take the glass off. You can pull yourself up and be made whiter than snow by the grace and love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that resides in his holy name. Hallelujah. Not only is this sermon different, but it's almost over. If you never went through the fire, then how would you become pure? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If I gave you all things, how would you appreciate them? Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus behind them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. If I never corrected you, how would you know that I love you? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you had all power, then why would you need me? Matthew 5:3 goes on to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst in righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, with premises like these, why would you want to stay in the problem? Tonight I ask you that question, not knowing who you are. Why, with all that God has done for us, willing to do for us, why would you wish to stay in the problem? Why would you wish to continue to do something that you've already proven to yourself doesn't work? Why is it that the one thing that you know will work for you is the very thing that you try to avoid, to end up only having to go back to the things that don't work for you? That's the definition of insanity, continuing to do the same things over and over, expecting different results. Again, I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. This was called the one-minute sermon, and if you want to see it, you can go to YouTube and look it up. But again, this was sent to me by someone, and I thought it was very appropriate for finishing this message off. I am not a rapper. That is not part of my generation. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now, if anyone is of a mindset to try to time me on this, go ahead, but understand my timing and cadence may be off. To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you're looking to Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can't stop nonstop, pop a pill, but be void. Your void will not be filled. And the pain won't kill until you love the one that hanged on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair, watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Now, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol accounts or tribes are going to satisfy you. CSA ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC. Nothing on TV, CD, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN has got no news. Here's a headline you must choose. It's not a simple life like Paris Health, and that's treading on thin ice. That's like thinning, living on thin ice in sin. You could be an apprentice on Donald Trump and eating Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You could be a heavy hitter on Wheel of Fortune, winner a Fox no spin spinner, or a flat out sinner. But you had better check this life you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cents that Elviston came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney will want to be on and every wannabe that wants to be on MTV with their icy bling, with every chick that sings, they're all going to see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J Lo, Bono, or Leno, there's only one thing you gotta know. One day you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you going to go? I'm not talking about some punk junk about your grandma's church the way it was way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be alike listening to. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. One day he's going to split the sky, and he's the brightest light and the brightest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you, don't be that by that stupid stuff that they be trying to sell you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line to this rhyme. Give your life to God while there is still time. Praise God. I would like to bring Tony Munoz up momentarily. We're going to bring the graduates up front, and Brother Thomas is going to greet them. But Tony has something that he wants to do, so please.
Praise the Lord. I want to make sure. I was gone for maybe three, four, I wouldn't name it, Sundays because my mom passed away. And at that time, I had Christina Vega teach the class. She's a girl. She's in Fire for Kids. I've seen her work at JRC at the jail with me. She's great. And all I'm here to do is I appreciate her work with me, and I'm going to appreciation plaque for Christina Vega.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Christina. The one thing that Tony did not say is that he heads up the youth CIP, and he works with the teenagers, and Christina did the filling in for him. Christina is a unique lady. She is on fire, and there's nothing that hinders her from doing the work of the Lord, and I greatly appreciate all that she has done and will continue to do. Hallelujah. You don't have to be old to work for the Lord. Speaking of age, I'm going to regret that because he's coming after me. Brother Thomas, you're in a...
Thank you, Jesus, for the last call on the mic.
We would like for Christina Vega, our first graduate, to come up, please. Christina did not have a need, but she felt called to be used of the Lord. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, CIP is one of the most prolific ministries, one of the most prolific ministries in this church. And if any of you feel called to reach out to help those that are lost, we can utilize your services in CIP. In order to be a teacher, you have to go through the same thing that the students go through. You have to go through the 20 weeks of classes and everything that they go through, you would have to go through yourself. So we look forward to anyone that would like to come. You can talk to Sister Audrey or the Richies or myself. Dennis Will Carls. We would like Malcolm Pittman to come up. And we would like, finally, but not last, Eric Rogers to come up. Okay, we'd like to give the graduates an opportunity to address the church if they wish. And while you're up here, please, would you all just stay up here? They want to take pictures of you for the CGC News, and I'd like to give you this opportunity.
I want to start by thanking Calvary Gospel Church. Actually, when I came here, I didn't know what to expect. it's quite different, especially from the church I used to go to in Chicago. It's like I went to church, but I wasn't consistent. But the churches, the pastors and the people here really embraced everybody. Everybody who comes through the door. Just want to say thank you. Actually, this church actually brought my daughter. I haven't seen my daughter for 10 years, and coming back here, she brought my daughter back into my life. She don't want to stand up, but I want to thank Calvary Gospel Church and CIP. Thank you.
I guess I'd like to start first and foremost for thanking the whole church for, you know, letting us come here. Most of us started coming here while we were sitting in jail, and it's just nice to get out of there, come and see so many friendly people that, you know, welcome us in here, not knowing who we are, where we come from, but they accept us just because we're trying to change. That's pretty awesome. I want to thank Brother and Sister Hawk for kind of doing the whole CIP program, getting it going. All the teachers, people that help out with the whole program. Tim for letting us come on a couple Saturdays, you know, while we were sitting in there. That's nice. I'd like to thank my buddy Derek for talking me into coming here. I wouldn't have come here if it weren't for him. I don't know. I came from a life where I never went to church before I came here. My whole family was pretty much Catholic. I went on a couple, you know, Christmas and Easters to make Grandma happy. That was about it. And this is my first real experience at church. And like Derek said when he was up here, you guys seem a little crazy at first, but it really starts to grow on you. And, you know, I think I'm learning to love all you guys.
All right.
I'm really nervous. Okay, God is good. And I got into this because I wanted to get closer to him. And I said, whatever Bible study, whatever class, whatever they have to offer, that's what I'm going to do. And I have met some beautiful people. I have a best friend, Maria. I love her to death. She's in Canada right now. And I have met Will, and I love Will. And I have adored the people with Sister Everlene, Sister Hawk. I mean, I've really gotten close to a lot of people in here, and I've been grateful to be used, and it's a privilege to be used by God. It truly is a privilege to be in his presence, and I enjoy it. I love it. I have learned that kind of dawned on me about a couple of weeks ago that I'm addicted to Jesus. And I'm addicted to his presence, and I am addicted to just doing his work. I love when people come, and I love when they get filled with the Holy Ghost. I love when they just have salvation in their lives, and it's addicting. And I just was like, wow, God, this is what I was trying to do the whole time. Like, all the crazy things that I was doing, that adrenaline rush that I was seeking and getting for those couple of seconds, this is what I was trying to do this whole time. And now I have like a 24-hour, 7 days a week adrenaline rush. So, thank you, Jesus. God is good. So, love you all.
First off, I'd like to start by thanking God for just giving me the opportunity to be surrounded by positive individuals and positive people. Calvary Gospel Church, Brother Huck, Sister Huck, Tim, and everyone else, the people who give us rides here. I started off going to church when I was younger, but I kind of lost sight of where I was going over the years, and I just wanted to get back in touch with God, and this has allowed me to do that to a certain extent, so hopefully it'll continue to work. Thank you.
Praise God. We're going to ask God's continued anointing on these precious people. We have thoroughly enjoyed having CIP as part of an integral part of Calvary Gospel Church's outreach, and we have had the privilege of meeting so many wonderful, beautiful people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we are able to be part of the lives of these precious people. We're asking God that there would be a protective aura over them, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of the living God would rest upon each and every one of them as they go through the rest of their life, Lord, that the peace, the power, the love of Jesus Christ would be integrated into their hearts and their minds and their souls, that they would find everything that they need, Lord God, all wrapped up in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go with them, Lord, as they go through the rest of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. 2001, Brother Hawk agreed finally to the call of God in his life. Several years, Pastor Grant had asked Brother Hawk. Brother Hawk had a burning desire to see a prison-type ministry at Calvary Gospel Church, and Brother Grant wisely said, Brother Hawk, we need a leader for that. Brother Hawk said, well, that's not me, but we still need it. And God began to talk to him and his wife, and would you believe, hundreds of souls later, we have seen the will of God done in the Christian Intervention Program. From the very inception of this, when we went with Brother Pastorelli all over the city of Madison, Wisconsin, talking to judges and to lawyers and to the people in the Dane County Jail, we saw one miracle after another. I remember by the Dane County Huber Center and talking to the man in charge of the letting prisoners have visitors and Bible studies and whatever, and he said, we really need some Bible studies up here. He said, do you think you could come twice a week? And I said, well, I think we can even do better than that. He said, how? I said, I think we could bring a bus over here, pick up as many people that you'd allow us to have, bring them to Calvary Gospel Church, teach them. There'd just be one stipulation. So what's that? They'd have to stay for the service. I thought we might as well go for the gold. He said, it'd probably do them good. I appreciate Brother and Sister Hawk and the dedicated staff that works with the Christian Intervention Program. And, you know, many years ago, Brother Uselman preached a tremendous message, and one of the points of his message was this: as awesome as Jesus Christ is and as awesome as this gospel is, it just doesn't work unless you're hungry. Remember that, Brother Uselman? You see, if you're hungry tonight, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. If you really have something stirring inside of your soul, tonight's your night. You don't have to wait till next week, and you don't have to wait till your next appointment with your parole officer, or you don't have to go to the next appointment in life that has something to do with some of the mistakes that you've made. You may say, well, how do you know about all that? Because I used to be one of you. Wasn't for the grace of God, alcohol, drugs, lost everything I had, literally on a physical sense. Lost my wife, lost my home, lost my children. And then I came back to Madison, the place of my birth, and my health failed me. And on, literally on my deathbed, Pastor Grant came up and laid hands on me. Hallelujah. And the doctor said he has spinal meningitis or leukemia. God said, no, I've got other things for him to do. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but if you're here tonight and something's inside of you telling you there's more to life than this, there has to be more to life than this. If the sum total, I remember waking up one night, middle of the night, 3 o'clock at night, and I was weeping. And something kept saying to me, is this all there is in your life? Is this the sum total of the happiness and the peace that you're going to experience? And I began to cry because I could not remember the last time I had any real happiness in my life. I destroyed all that with poor decisions, having no idea that there was a real live devil out there that had a plot and a plan, had a drawing board in hell for my soul. And he had a way that he was trying to destroy me. And he came within a gnat's breath of doing it. I thank God for Calvary Gospel Church. I thank God for the truth. So if you're here tonight, and if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're at the right place at the right time, and it's not a coincidence, if you'd stand, that you're here tonight.